Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Gimel Amar Aleph at the end of five lines from the top. Amar Yehuda. The Gemara continues to discuss the non-kosher birds. And the Gemara says that the Pasuk in Parashat Shemini mentions the Sholach. It says the Gemara, Sholach Zeh Shoyla Dogim Min Hayom. It's a bird that draws fish from the sea. I saw a beautiful vart. Was Pshat HaShoyl Dogim Min Hayom. That the Divrei Yisrael, the Mazur Tzur Rebbe, explains that a non-kosher bird is a bird who tries to convince people, we know the yam, the Torah is always compared to yam, and tries to tell people from Klal Yisrael that they should leave the yam, and they should, because they should leave Torah because they need to do other things besides learning Torah. And now the Gemara is going to say, Mishpatecha Tohoim Rabbah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges them and relates to them as non-kosher birds, because anybody who tries to convince somebody to leave learning is a non-kosher species. Continues the Gemara, Duchafis, where is the bird Duchafis? Shahoy Duchafis. Its beauty, the crown on the head, is referred to the Hoidu, and it's folded. That is another one of the non-kosher birds. Tanya Namihochi, and so too indeed have we learned in the Braisa. What is the Duchafis? The Duchafis is a bird who Shahoidu Kafis. And it continues the Gemara of Zeh, and this is the bird Shehevi Shamir Beis HaMikdash, that brought the Shamir, the Shamu worm. We know that the Shamu worm has the ability to cut through anything. And the Gemara in Masech the Gittin teaches us that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't want to use any metal utensils to cut anything in the Beis HaMikdash. So he wanted to get the Shamir, but he didn't know how to, he did not know how to get to the Shamu worm. So the Gemara says that he was told that the Shamir is together with the Duchafis that we're discussing. So what he did was, he sent Ben Yoyada to be the individual to bring in the Shamir. And what Ben Yoyada did was that he took the nest of the Duchafis and he put on top of it a clear glass covering. When the Duchafis came back and wanted to unite with its children, it couldn't penetrate the glass covering. So he went and called his friend the Shamir. And as he brought the Shamir, Ben Yoyada was able to catch the Shamir and bring him to Shlomo HaMelech to help him construct the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Kahavi Schazi Sholach. When Rabbi Yochanan would see the Sholach, Omar, he would say the Pasuk, Mishpatecha Tohoim Rabbah. And Rashi gives two pshatim. One pshat is that we see how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with his judgment, that even in the fish who are in the depths of the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Sholach to punish them. Another pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does judgment with the Sholach itself. That in order for the Sholach to have sustenance, he has to go to the depths of the sea. And actually the Radak and other Mepharshim say from our Gemara, from the first pshat that we just quoted, we see that Hashgacha Pratis and Tzchar V'Oynish are not limited to human beings, but there's a Hashgacha Pratis and Tzchar V'Oynish even to animals and to fish, because Rashi said that Pshat in our Gemara is that Hashem sends the Sholach to punish the fish in the sea. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes even those that are in the sea, although the Radak does make the point that the Hashgacha Pratis, the Tzchar V'Oynish that there is on fish in the sea, only relate, he says, to way they relate to human beings. but not for what they do for themselves. Ki'av chaz in the mola, continues the Gemara, where Rabbi Yochanan, when we see the ant, he would say the other pasuk of tzidkoscha kahar rekeo. So the Mefarshim give a number of pshatim. One pshat the Rashi says, that going back to the pshat that we just mentioned, that even in the depths of the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes those in, that deserve punishment. And we see that the simile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned that even the small ant should have sustenance, just like he's concerned that the shalach, the large bird, should have sustenance. Another pshat that Rashi suggests is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing that the ant is such a small insect and certainly is not able to easily have sustenance, so what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he brings him the sustenance and gives him the intelligence to gather its sustenance, as we discussed the other day, in the winter, that it should have the sustenance for the whole year. Another pshat that I saw is that although that the Namala is a very small ant, not very powerful, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it the strength to be able to schlep the food that it needs to eat so that it should be able to survive. Continues the Gemara. Omer Ameima, Litni Ubatni, these two types of fish, Sharyan, a kosher fish, Shiknoyu Vetanoi, these are two different fish, Makam Shinagulech of Eichlin, in the place where there's a minig that they are eaten, one may eat them, and Makam Shinagulech in the place where the minig is not to eat them, Ein Eichlin. Ask the Gemara, Otabim and Hagatalia Milsa, is this dependent on minig? If it's kosher, it's kosher. And if it's not kosher, it's not kosher. Why is custom a factor here? Answer the Gemara in. First, we're going to explain the Gemara the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Lekasha. Haba Asra the Shchichi Paris Vazniya. In the place where Paris Vazniya are common. So since the Shokni and Botni are similar to the Paris Vazniya, that they are also birds, as we discussed, the Paris Vazniya are non-kosher birds that have only one simen tahara. The Shikni and Botni are similar to that. So since the Shikni and Botni are similar, so in a place where our Paris Vazniyas, there's a concern that one will eat, Chas V'Sholem, the Paris Vazniya, which are non-kosher, if we allow him to eat the Shikni and Botni. And therefore, in such a place, he may not eat the Shikni and Botni. However, in an Asra, in a place, the Loi Shchichi Paris Vazniya, where there are no Paris Vazniyas, so that concern is not there, and therefore one may eat the Shokni Bitni. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says that if there's a concern that one would confuse the Shokni and Bitni with the Paris Vazniya, then the halacha is that the Shokni and Bitni should be also to be eaten and everywhere. So, therefore, Tosfos explains that there's certainly nothing similar between the Shokni and Bitni and the Paris Vazniya. The only concern is that they are similar to the Paris Vazniya, and therefore, in the place where there is Paris Vazniya commonly found, we're going to answer it. But everywhere else, where there is no room for this concern, there is no reason to aser the Shukni Vibitni. There's a machlokes when we say this Gemara, that in a place where the Paris Vazniya is found, we have to worry about the Shukni Vibitni. What does that mean? Does it mean that we know for sure there are Paris Vazniyas? That's where we have to be concerned? But if we don't know that Paris Vazniyas, we need not be concerned? Or is pshat that we have to know for sure that in this location there are no Paris Vazniyas, and only when we're certain that there are no Paris Vazniyas here do we not need to be concerned about the Shikni Vitni? It could be that this question is connected to the Machloikas of Rashi and Tosfos. Amar Abaya, Kui V'Kikoi, these are two different types of birds, are Osir. May not be eaten. Kukusaw, the Kukusaw bird, Sharia is Mutter. The Marava, says the Gemara, Milkala, and says the Gemara, the Kuki v'Kasoi that we set are Asur, and not to be understood that they're Asur because we don't know if it's kosher or not. They are certainly, without any question, non-kosher birds, and the Karlei Tachvasa, and their name is Tachvasa, and if Chas v'Shalom somebody eats from those types of birds, Chas v'Shalom, he will get Malkus if he did it b'mezit. He's certainly over the laugh. Tan Rabbanan. We know that the Torah lists the non-kosher birds, as we've been discussing, and the Torah as well lists the Shmoyne Shrotzim, the birds that the Shrotzim, the different Shrotzim, that when they die, if they give off Tumah. And it's interesting to note that the Tinshamis is a bird, is listed amongst the non-kosher birds, and the Tinshamis is as well listed amongst the non-kosher, amongst the Shrotzim. And in fact, as the Mepharshim explained, because as we'll see in our Gemara, this only causes confusion, is because indeed the Tinshamis is somewhat similar in its look both to this non-kosher bird and to this sheretz, and therefore they share the same name called Tinshemes. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Tinshemes is Bo'o Sheba Oifis. I saw a number of pshatim, and what is the taich of the word Bo'os? Some say the word Bo'os means the ugliest, others say that the definition of the word Bo'os, it means that it yells the loudest. It continues the Braisa. At the Omer, Bo'os Sheba Oifis doesn't mean it's the ugliest of the birds. Ayanel Bo'os Sheba Shrotzim. Or maybe it has this characteristic amongst the Shrotzim, says the Braisa Omarta. Say Lamad me Yud give a Midashatar and addresses to him. We know that there are 13 different ways that we explain Psukim in the Torah. And one of the ways of learning is Dover Mahalomed Minyanai. That means we don't know exactly how to understand the Pasuk. We explain it based on the context in which we find. The Ma'akos of Adabra. In the parasha that speaks about the non-kosher birds, the Torah speaks about the Tinshamis. So we see that the Tinshamis is listed amongst the non-kosher birds. Afkan. So we see that the Tinshamis that we're speaking about must be a bird. Afkan, it must be speaking about the Oifis of birds. And says the Gemara, but we have a similar Braisa regarding Shrotzim. Says the Gemara, Tani Nami Hochi Gabishrai Shrotzim. Tani Nami Gabishrotzim Gai Gavna, we have a similar Braisa regarding the Shrotzim. Tinshamis is the Bo'os Shebishrotzim, however we teach the word Bo'os. It continues the Braisa. At Oimer Bo'os Shebishrotzim, do we mean that it has this characteristic amongst the Shrotzim? Maybe it's speaking about birds. Continues the Braisa Amarta. Say Lamad, Miyud Gimel Midashatar addresses Behen. Use this type of Limud. Dover Lam Majamai. The Ma'akos Medaber. When the Torah speaks about Tinshamas in that Pasik, what is the Torah speaking about? Shrotzim. Afkan is speaking about Shrotzim. Continue the Gemara. Omer Abaya, Bo'os Sheba Oifis, the ugliest of the birds is the Kippus. Is the Kippus. Bo'os Sheba Shrotzim, the ugliest of the Shrotzim is Korpidoi. Rashi says that the Korpidoi is a mole. As far as the Kippus, some say it's either the owl, or others say it's a bat. Omer Yehuda, Kippus. When we speak about, when the Torah speaks about the Kos, which is a bird that's mentioned again amongst the list of the non-kosher birds, says the Gemara, Kos the cook. That is the cook. The Mepharshim explained that where does it get this name? Because it regurgitates the food it vomits. Rechem, when the Torah speaks about the Rechem, it refers to the Shrakrak. It's a bird called Shrakrak. Ask the Gemara, Omer of Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shmai Rechem, why is the Shrakrak called Rechem? Says the Gemara, Kivin shebar rechem bar rachman l'olam. When the rechem bird arrives, it brings rachman, meaning rain. We know the rain brings sustenance to the world. When the rechem comes, rain comes. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Barabaya. For who the Yosef Amidi vav the trakrak? When does the rechem bring show that rain is coming? When it sits on something. So as Mefarshim explained, when it's flying in the sky, when it's flying in the sky and it's yelling, that is only an indication that it's trying to communicate to other birds. However, when it's sitting on the ground, or the Mefarshim say on the roof of a house, then that's an indication. Gemiri, says the Gemara, we have a Kabbalah, the Yosef Arav Sharik, if it's sitting on the ground, that's a siman that also Mashiach, that Mashiach is coming. Shnema Asharka Lahem Vakabtzeim. When it yells out, that's the time the Mashiach will come. And the Mashiach makes the point. The Mashiach says that when the Gemara, when it speaks about it's sitting on the ground, when it's sitting on something, is a proof that rain is coming, doesn't use the word Gemiri. When the Gemara speaks about it being a proof that Mashiach is coming, it uses the word Gemiri. Because we've never actually seen, says the Gemara, that says the Mashiach, that Mashiach should come. So we only can rely on the fact that it's that we have Gemiri, that we have such a Messiah. What is the lesson of this Gemara? So the Ben Yoyab explains that what the Gemara means to say is that when it's sitting, when it's humble, representing that when we're humble, when we're low, that's when we will be zoicha to the Gula. Another pshat is that when we're low, when Klal Yisrael is downtrodden, that's when Mashiach comes. Because as we know, Hisnari, when we're low, may offer kumi, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us up. The Mashal says that actually this is pshat in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Manovo al-Horim, Ragli Mevaser, Mashmi Asholim, Mevaser Toiv, Mashmi Yeshua Omer Letzia Moloch Al-Kayach, and he says that the Pasuk is talking about that when the bird will be al harim, resting on the mountains, on the ground, as Al Gemara says, that will be a raya that Mashiach is coming. I saw another nice pshat from Rav Shafran, who was the chief rabbi of Romania. He says, if we look at the Aleph Beis, so we go with the letters of the Aleph Beis, Aleph Beis Gimel, every letter, Aleph represents one, which is the pure representation of Achdus. Beis is already two, and Gimel, so on. When we look at the letters of the Aleph Beis, he says backwards, then it's just opposite. Tav is 400, Shin is 300, Resh is 200. That already represents going back in the direction of Achdus. He says, what is this bird called? This bird is called, as Al Gemara just said, the Shrakruk, Shin Reish Kuf, the letters of the Aleph Beis going backwards, teaching us that when will Mashiach come? When we keep on working in the direction of Achdus. When we work in the direction of Achdus, that's when Mashiach will come. Continues the Gemara, Amalev Adabasimi Lamar Baravadoi, for who the Yosebe Karba. There was once a shrakrak bird that sat amongst the plowed field, the sharak, and it yelled, and a stone came down and cracked its skull. But what's relevant to us is we see that it yelled when it's sitting on the floor and Mashiach didn't come. Amalei, hahu baidahava. It was a liger. I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat is that it was indeed the shrakrak bird, but it didn't act appropriately. and it got punished that it was killed. Another pshat is that it wasn't even the shrakrak bird. It tried to fool people into believing it's the shrakrak bird, but actually it wasn't the shrakrak bird. The Farshim also make a very interesting observation, as we're going to learn more in depth later in our Shir Mitzvashem. The Torah speaks about the parasha of the non-kosher birds twice, in Parasha Shemini and in Parasha Re'eh. But interesting to note that when the Torah mentions the Rechem in Parasha Shemini, it says Rechem Loshen Zocher. Parasha Re'eh, it says Ruchama Loshen Nekeva. Why isn't it called the same? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that we see that this bird could bring one of two messages. It could either bring the message of rain, or could bring the message of Mashiach. The message of rain, which reflects the land, and land, Eretz, is Lashon Nekeva. So since it's Lashon Nekeva, that's why it's called Luchama B'Lashon Nekeva. Geula, which affects Klal Yisrael, Yisrael is B'Lashon Zachar, so that's why it's called Rechem B'Lashon Zachar. Another pshat is that on the Keva, we know a female is always represented in Chazal as being someone who has a greater level of Rachmanis than a Zachar. So, as our Gemara is teaching us, the Rechem could bring one of two messages, a message of rain, which is a very important message, but certainly not as important as the message of Mashiach. And that's why it either is a Zachar, which is a lower level message, the message of rain, or the message of Mashiach, which of course is a much greater and more important lesson, but it has two levels of messages, Zachar and the Kever, a lower level of Yeshua and a greater level of Yeshua. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Eirif, another one of the non-kosher birds mentioned is the Eirif. Eirif, Zeh Eirif, when the Torah mentions Eirif, means the Eirif bird, which we know as the raven. Es kol Eirif, lahavi Eirif ha'amki, which the Gemara will explain in a moment what that means. Leminoi, lahavi Eirif haba b'rosh shayinim, again the Gemara will explain that in a moment. Amamar, so the Gemara begins to analyze the braisa. Eirif, when the Pasuk says Eirif, Zeh Eirif, ask the Gemara, ot kaman koi, were they looking at the Eirif and mention, if they were holding the Eirif, says the Gemara, that then we could understand when they say Zeh Eirif. But they weren't holding an Eirif, that the Braisa should use the word Zeh Eirif. And in fact, there's a interesting Be'er Hativ and Das Torah based on this Gemara. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that when Hagba is done after Kriyas HaTorah, the people standing around should say the Pasuk V'zois HaTorah Shetzav Moshe L'fnei B'nei Yisrael. And the Be'er Hativ says that we should only say that Pasuk if we actually see the words of the Sefer Torah. And the Das Torah explains, based on our Gemara, because our Gemara is teaching us that you can only use the word Zeh when you actually see the thing you're talking about. So if somebody wants to say the words V'zois HaTorah, he actually has to be seeing the wording of the Torah in order to see it. So again, ask the Gemara, how does the Braisa use the words Eirif Zeh Eirif if they didn't have an Eirif in front of them? El Eima, says the Gemara, Eirif, the way to understand the Braisa is that whenever the Torah says the word Eirif, it means Zeh Eirif Ukma. It means a black bird. The Kain Weimer, as the Pasuk says in Shir Shirim, Kvutsoysof Teltalim Shechayres Ka'irif. And as the Mefarshim explained, the word Eirif comes to word Erev, which means night. Ha'emki, where the next, when the Braisa spoke about the Eskol Eirif, it said it means the Eirif Imki. What does the Eirif Imki mean? The Chivra, because it has a white patch along its body. The Keno Eimer,
Umareyu Omek Menaor. There's talk, the pasuk there speaking about in the Gaon, and the pasuk speaks about a white spot on the skin, and it's called Umareyu Omek Menaor, like we find, explains the Gemara, Tamara Chama Hamuka Menatseir. In other words, as Rashi explains, when you have a sunny surface and a dark surface, the sunny surface gives the illusion of being further away than the darkest surface right next to it. Similarly, a white spot of tsaras on dark skin gives a sunken appearance. And here too, when we speak about the white oyrev, it's not completely white, especially as we just explained. A oyrev, by definition, is black. Rather, what it means is that it has some white patches that look deeper next to the dark patches or the dark skin of the oyrev, which is the primary color of the oyrev. Then the Braisa spoke about the oyrev haboba roshi yoinim. Omra papa, loy tamed the osibere shoini. Don't understand that the Braisa means that it flies at the head of the of yoinim, because as the Mefarshim explained, the bird that flies at the head of a group of birds is going to be the same type of bird. So it wouldn't make sense to understand that an oyrev is the bird that's flying ahead of all of the yoinim, which we know are kosher birds. Rather, what the oyrev habab rosh yoinim means is that it's an oyrev whose head, the domi rosh of the yoinim, that even though it's an oyrev bird, its head looks similar to a yoinim. Tanur Rabbanan, continues the Gemara, Hanetz, the pasuk says Hanetz, it means the nets. Lemineu, Laosi, es Barchirya. My Barchirya, Amrabaya, the Barchirya is the Shirinka bird. It's interesting to note that the Rashi and Tosfos both mention that why here too doesn't the Gemara ask the same question that it asked when it spoke about the Oyrev, the how we're using the word Zeh by the nets, that they have many nets in front of them. So Tosfos answers, then when we were speaking about the Oyrev, and the Braisa said that there are a number of different birds that are called Oyrev, so the word Zeh would only be appropriate if all of those birds were in front of them. And therefore the Gemara asked, they didn't have an Oyrev in front of them, so how does the Braisa use the word Zeh? Here we're not speaking about different nets birds in front of us. And since we're not speaking about different nets birds in front of us, it's not about different birds that are called nets, it isn't the problem that the Braisa uses the word Zeh. Amar Yehuda, HaChasida Zudai Levona. One of the non-kosher birds that's mentioned is the Chasida, and that's the Dai Levona. And that's the Gemara, Lama Nikra Shema Chasida. Why is it called Chasida? So Oysa Chasidus Im Chavar Sahal. Because it acts nicely to the other birds around it. So all the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. If this is a bird that acts nicely to the birds around it, so then it should be a kosher bird. That's a proper characteristic. Why is it a non-kosher bird? So I saw a number of truths. One teretz that I saw is that it only redeeming characteristic trait is that it does chesed. And of course chesed is a very important proper midah. But if that's the only good midah somebody has, that's not something that can be emulated. You're supposed to have chesed amongst other midahs titles. The Chiddush Arim says because it does only chesed in Chavra Seho, with the people around it, with the birds of its type. That's not called chesed. Chesed is someone who does chesed with everyone. In fact, I saw a story where Rabbi Shulam Diskin, where there was a group that wanted to start a chesed group for all the people in a certain neighborhood. And they came to him for his haskama to the group. And he says that he won't give us haskama. And they asked him why not. Because he said, chesed that's only limited to a certain group, in my mind, is not considered proper chesed.
And that's the lesson of our Gemara. You're supposed to do chesed with everybody. Continues the Gemara.
Hanofa zudai regzonis. Hanofa is the dai regzonis. Along with Nikrishma Hanofa, Shema nefesim chavaseh. It gets angry against the other birds of its type. Says the Gemara.
And in introduction to this Gemara, we go back to something that we mentioned earlier in our shiur. The Torah lists the non-kosher birds twice. Once in Parashas Shmini, and the other time in Parashas Re'eh. And when we read the two parashas, we'll notice that there are two differences. In Parashas Shmini, the Da'ah is mentioned and not the Ra'ah. In Parashas Re'eh, the Ra'ah is mentioned and not the Da'ah. In Parashas Shmini, the Torah says, Ha'aya Lamina. And in Parashas Re'eh, the Pasuk says, Ha'aya Vadaya Lamina. And as an extension of these two distinctions that I just pointed out, we also now see that the Torah mentions the Daya in Parashas Re'eh with the Ayah. In Parashas Shemini, it only mentions the Ayah. So we have, if we count the amount of non-kosher birds listed, in Parashas Shemini, that 20 non-kosher birds mentioned, and in Parashas Re'eh, 21. Begins the Gemara. Amar Avchanan, Baruch Chizda, Amar Avchizda, Amar Avchanan, Bered Rava, Amar Av, Esim V'Aba, Oifas Tumeim Heim, that 24 non-kosher birds. Amar Avchanan, Baruch Chizda, Rav Chizda, the Hecha. How do you come to this number? Either the Yikra, if we count the list in Parashas Shemini, Esrim Hava, there are 20. Either Mishnah Torah, if we count the list in Parashas Re'eh, Esrim Echad Hava, the 21. The Chi Tema, if we'll suggest, the O, which I mentioned, the Ksiv B'Yikra, which is mentioned in Parashas Shemini, but like Ksiv of the Mishnah Torah, it's not mentioned in Parashas Re'eh, Shad Elayu, add to the list, so we'll have one more, it'll still only leave us a Kati Esmetrehava. It'll leave us only with a total of 22, and you said there are 24. Answers the Gemara. Amalei, Hacha Amar Avuda Mach Meshmei Derav, Lamina, the Torah says the words Lamina four times, both in Parashas Re'eh and in Parashas Shmini. Harei Kan Arba is another four. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that this represents another four, so that Ikachi Esr V'Shithava, so that 22 that we already counted for, plus this four, will take us to 26. But we just started the Gemara by saying that there are 24 non-kosher birds, and now we have 26. Actually, the Rishash says that the Gemara should have asked that there are 27, because the Torah in Parashas Shmini uses the word Lamina by the Ayah, and in Parashas Re'eh, it uses it by the Daya, so we have an extra Lamina. So the Rishash says that doesn't bother the Gemara, because since the Torah uses the word Lamina four times, the fact that they're not used on the same four birds is not of concern to us. What is concern, however, says the Gemara, that it's 26, not the 24. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Dover or Atasi. Parashas Shmini says Da, Parashas Re'eh says Ra, but they're really one and the same bird. Why are they mentioned one time this way and one time that way, as we'll see later in the Gemara? Because some people might call it the Da'ah, and some people might call it the Ra, and they'll get confused, and the people won't know, unless the Torah mentions both names, will come to a mistake that one bird, that feeds a non-kosher bird. Because, says the Gemara, what's the proof that this is correct? These Akadatach, if we're going to suggest Tarti Inun, that they actually represent two different birds, Michti, asked the Gemara, Mishnah Torah Lasufi Hudasa. The point of Mishnah Torah is to add and amplify over what it says everywhere else in the Torah. As the Maral explains, the Gemara Masechta Megillah says that the first four Chumashim were said by Hashem, and the last Chumash Devarim, Mishnah Torah, was said by Moshe Rabbeinu.
But he explains, Chas v'shalom to say that the entire Torah was written by anyone but Hashem. Rather, he explains what the Gemara Masechta Megillah means, is that it's a question of perspective. The perspective, whenever we have someone giving something to someone else, there's a giver and a receiver. And the giver and the receiver, although they're both important players in every transaction, come with different perspectives. And what the Gemara says, what the Gemara Masechta Megillah means to say, he says, is that the perspective of the first four chumashim is the perspective from Hashem who gave us the Torah. The perspective of Mishnah Torah is from the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu as a receiver. And of course, a person's depth of knowledge is never as deep as the knowledge of Hashem. And therefore, if anything, Mishnah Torah should be more amplified. So, therefore he asks, Mishnah Hochadik Sivra O, or Mishnah Hochadik Sivra O, V'loit Sivda, if Ra'ah and Da weren't the same, how could they not be mentioned both together? El Shema Minah, Min Ra'ah V'Da Achasi, they're both the same, and the only reason that they're not mentioned, that, and they're both names are mentioned, only to avoid a mistake. Continues the Gemara. V'Kati, so fine. Now that we said that Da and Ra'ah are one, so we started that, we started with 24. And now we came up with a count of 26. So now by saying Ra and Da is one, we take the count down by one and we have 25. But our sugya began by saying that there are 24 non-kosher birds. Amar Abaya, Shem Shura V'Da Akasi, Kach Ayah V'Daya Akasi. The Ayah and the Daya are one and the same. These are the data that it will going to suggest they're different. Michti, the same question that we mentioned a moment ago. Mishnah Torah Sufidasa. The point of Mishnah Torah is to amplify on what it says in the other Chumashim. Mishnah Hochdik Sivla Mina Ayah, as we said at the beginning of the Sugya. The word Mina in Parsha Shemina is put next to the word Ayah. Mishnah Hochdik Sivla Mina Adayah. Al Shema Mina Ayah Vidaya Akasi. So ask the Gemara. If they're both one and the same, why do both names have to be written? Answers the Gemara Kedatanya. Rabbi Omer, Ekrani Ayah, let it be enough that the Torah should say the word Ayah. Daya Lama Nemra, why does the Torah also have to say the word Daya? She's like, Titan Pesachim Pel about Din Lachlai. In order to avoid a mistake, Shlayat Tayatakar Ayah, you call this bird Ayah. Somebody else calls the bird Vukari Daya. Or vice versa. At the Karadaya, Vuhu Karaya. And you're going to come to make a mistake unless both names are mentioned. The Kach Kosim Mishnah Torah Ravas Ayah Vadaya Lamina, not to make a mistake, to know that they're all one and the same. And as the Mefarshim explained, this Teretz applies both to the Ra'ah and the Da and the Ayah and the Daya. Why did the Gemara choose to say it over here rather than say by the Ram Da, because here the Torah used the word Mina, and even though the Torah is using the word Mina, and Mina certainly comes to explain and expand the list, so we think that it shouldn't be needed to say Ayah and Daya explicitly once the Torah used the words Lamina, still teaches us the Torah that we want to be, we want you to be 100% clear to know that Ayah and Daya are the same and to avoid the mistake that the Gemara just mentioned. Meisrei, ask the Gemara. So what we're saying now is that all the birds mentioned in Mishnah Torah are really already referred to in all the birds mentioned in Parshas Re'eh are really already referred to in Parshas Shemini. Ask the Gemara, there's a Braisa that we discussed already the other day. Lama Nishnah. The Braisa there discusses that there are a number of animals that are listed in Parshas Re'eh. And even though we've listed the non-kosher animals in Parsha Shemini, Mehema Rnei HaShesua, the Torah we spoke about in Daf Samach Amud Beis mentions the Shua, which is an animal that has a double spine, and to teach us that it's not kosher. Uba Oifis, and continues to Brai, so why were these psukim mentioned in, why were the Oifis mentioned again in Parsha Shrei Rnei Ra'ah? Maila. Now, when we speak about the Shesua,
The shesu mehem the hasam lasufi. Shesu, as we just explained, is an animal which is mentioned in Parshas Re'eh and not mentioned in Parshas Shmini. Shouldn't we say that the Braisa means to say oifus nami lasufi, that there are birds mentioned in Parshas Re'eh that are not mentioned in Parshas Shmini? But the way we're explaining, every bird in Re'eh and every bird in Shmini are mentioned in both. And it's more hasam. The comparison is not necessarily this exact. Hasam, indeed, by the animals, Lasufi, Parshas Re'eh comes to teach us about animals that are not mentioned in Parshas Shmini. Hacha, when we speak about birds, there are no birds that are not mentioned in Re'eh that were mentioned in Shmini. It's just coming to explain, as we said, Ra and Da the same, Ayah and Daya the same. Upligi Devavur says the Gemara, the conclusion that we've come to, that there are 24 non-kosher birds, Rebbe Avuah can't agree with that conclusion. For says the Gemara, Domer Avuah, Ra'ah za'ayah. The Ra'ah and the Ayah are the same. And says the Gemara, V'lam nikushma Ra'ah. Why is it called a Ra'ah? Shara'ah b'yaisa. That it has the ability to see very far. The Kain, Huaymer, Nesiv la'yado ayat, V'loy shesof so ayin ayah. It has the, so when we speak about a bird having the ability to see, we speak about the ayah. Tana, and in fact the Brisa says about this bird, a medis bebavel, v'roy nevel betisrael. It stands in bavel, and it sees all the way to Eretz Yisrael. And as the Mepharshim say, I saw a few pshatim. One pshat is that we see, you know, that already in the time of the Gemara, they had this concept of having the ability to see very far away. So it wasn't necessarily a modern invention. Another pshat is, it's only the Gashmias that prevents us from having that ability to see very far away. But really, were it not for different barriers, we see the ability to see very far. I saw a very powerful vart from the Baal Shem. Says the Gemara is calling, this is obviously one of the non-kosher birds. Why is this not a non-kosher bird? Somebody who, I met this with Bavel, somebody who stands in Chutz Laretz, the Roy in the Veil of Eretz Yisrael, and he doesn't see good in Eretz Yisrael, he sees bad in Eretz Yisrael, is a non-kosher bird. Now, the Gemara still at this point is assuming that the Ra'ah Haina Ayah, if the Ra'ah and the Ayah are the same, Mechlal, the door, Lav Haina Ra'ah. Well, we said before that the door and the Ra'ah are not the same, then the door and the Ra'ah are the same, Rebbe Avuah is not going to be able to agree with that. If the Ra'ah and the Ayah are the same, it doesn't seem to be right to say that the door and the Ra'ah are the same. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, we have an issue, Michti, as we've been saying, Mishnah Torah Sufi Hudasa. The purpose of Mishnah Torah is to amplify what we learned in the other Chumashim, Mashnah the Hachidik Siddah, or Mashnah the Light Siddah. Why is Da only mentioned in Shmini and Nanareh? Elah Shmamino. Da Vero, V'ayu Achasi. The only way we can answer this question, it must be that the Da and the Ra and the Ayah are all one and the same. And therefore, there are no birds missing from Parshas Re'eh that are mentioned in Parshas Shmini, says the Gemara. But if that's the way we're going to learn, that the Ra is the Ayah, Mechlal the Daya is not the Ayah. But if that's the case, that the Daya and the Ayah are not the same, Maishna Hosn the Tzivlimineya Ayah, or Maishna Hocha the Light Tzivlimineya Ayah, or Daya. And the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. If we're going to learn, as we learned in the previous piece of Gemara, that Ayah and Daya are the same, so the fact that the Torah uses the word Lumineu by the Ayah of Parshas Shmini and the word Lumineu by Daya of Parshas Re'eh doesn't trouble us, because they're really one and the same bird. But if we're going to say it's not the same bird, so then why does the Torah choose a different bird to use Lumineu in Parshas Shmini and in Parshas Re'eh? What's the only way we can answer it? The only way to answer it is Da'ah V'ra'ah V'Daya V'Ayah Achasi. All four of these birds are really one type. If that's going to be the case, that we won't have a count of 24, we'll only have a count of 23. And indeed, Rebbe Avuah will disagree and say there are only 24 non-kosher birds mentioned, not 23. Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda Oymer, Mei Oifas Tamei Miyesh ben Mizrach, there are 100 non-kosher birds in the east, the Kula min Ayahein, and all from the Ayah family.
Tanavimi Breda Ravur, Sheva Miyas Minadogim Hain. There are 700 species of non-kosher fish. Ushmaida Meyas Minach Agovin. There are 800 types of non-kosher grasshoppers. Uloifis a misper. The number of birds are innumerable. As tomorrow, Oisfis Esmeraba, we just said there's only 24 non-kosher birds. Ella, Uloifis Tahirmei misper. There are no count for the kosher birds. Non-kosher birds, kosher birds are innumerable. Taisa says, why does the Gemara have to teach us this? So Taisa says that if somebody is an expert and knows how to identify all 700 non-kosher birds and all 100 non-kosher grasshoppers, and he'll see a grasshopper or a bird that he can't be sure is kosher or not kosher, if he knows all the non-kosher birds and non-kosher grasshoppers, and he'll have a bird or grasshopper in front of him that's not from that list, he'll be able to definitively know that the grasshopper or bird in front of him is kosher. Tanya Rabbi Yoyim, Goy Vidu Lufnei Misha Ma'ayilam Shebehem Etamei Merubim Minatayrus. There are more non-kosher animals than kosher animals. The Fika Chamana Akos B'Torah, that's what the Pasuk mentions, the kosher animals. Similarly, Goy Vidu Lufnei Misha Ma'ayilam Shoyif Etamei Merubim Al-Tamein. There are more kosher birds than non-kosher birds. Fikach mona kosher b'tmeim. That's what the Torah mentions in non-kosher birds. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmon. What is this brisa? What has Rebbe taught us that isn't obvious from the pasuk? Answer the Gemara. Kerafuna meram. Vramelei amrafuna meram mishum beleza. Lo'el mishana odom talmidu darach ktsara. The lesson here is the person should always speak in the most concise manner, and that's why the Torah uses the shortest route. However, as the Mepharshim say, as the Gemara says actually, we only, if there's a question of speaking concisely or speaking in a Lashon Nekiya, then you should still speak. Even then, the Torah says everything in the most concise manner. Furthermore, there's a question that we've mentioned many times, that the Pasuk says, without them, ben behemet tembehayu l'tmeya, and the question is, why by the behemoth does the pasuk say tahir before tameya, and by the bird does the Torah say tameh before tar? But according to this Gemara, it's very understandable. The kosher animals are less than the non-kosher animals. So that's why we want to go with the derech tzara. So we mentioned the tahir first. By the birds, the non-kosher birds are less than the kosher birds. That's why it says oifa tameh before the tar. Why are there more non-kosher animals and more kosher birds? So Mepharshim explained, because the animals were created from the earth, and the earth represents Gashmius, so there's more Tumah. The birds that had water, which represents, as we said earlier in our shir, Torah with it, so there's more Tahara with water, and that's why there are more kosher birds. Another pshat that I saw in Lo'el Mishan Lo'odom Derech Ketzara is that Rebbe has the obligation to teach his Talmidim how to live b'derech tzara. Even when things are going katzer, we're going tough, the person still has to remain with the derech atayra. Amar, Yitzchak oif tar nechel mesoyrus. If somebody knows that a bird is kosher, he may eat it. Neman atzai loymer, continues the Gemara, a hunter may say, oif zeh tar mosli Rebbe. My Rebbe taught me that this bird is kosher. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, v'hu shabaki v'henem shmesayim. Only if the teacher is an expert in the birds and in their names can we accept this testimony. Boy Rav Zeir, when we speak about the teacher, is a Rabbi Chochem, does it mean that he's a Talmud Chochem or Rabbi Tzayid, or does it mean that he's a hunter? Tashma, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shabaki v'henem shmesayim. He described the teacher as somebody who's baki v'henem shmesayim. Iyam v'shlomer Rabbi Tzayid, if we'll say that the teacher is a hunter shopper. A hunter could be an expert. Eli Amit Rabbi Chochem, Bishlam Shemayu Gomelu. We can understand that a Talmud Chochem knows the names. Eli Inu Miyadelahu, as a Talmud Chochem, an expert in birds. Eli Shemamino, Rabbi Tzayid, Shemamino. So here we see a few points the Pais can say. That a Talmud Chochem need not be an expert in all types of birds. Number two, we see that sometimes an expert has more nemanis than a Talmud Chacham, although the Paiskim do point out
that's only in a situation where the Talmud Chacham doesn't have a Mesoira. But if the Talmud Chacham has a Mesoira, then we follow, then we of course accept the testimony of the Talmud Chacham. Interesting discussion, the Rosh and the Rajba. If in one place there's a Mesoira, and in another place there is no Mesoira on a bird, can the place that doesn't have a Mesoira rely on the place that does have a Mesoira? The Rosh says that you can. The Rajba says that you can't. But the Shach tries to compromise, and he says that they're not really disagreeing. There could be two reasons why a place doesn't have a Mesoira. One is they just don't have a Mesoira, or it's because they didn't know what to do, they accepted upon themselves a Chumrah not to eat a bird. So says the Shach, if one place has a Mesoira, and the other place doesn't have a Mesoira, not because of any definitive ruling, they just have no Mesoira. There says the Shach, the place without the Mesoira could rely on the Mesoira of the place that does have a Mesoira. But if it's a situation, says the Shach, where one place, because it had a question, accepted upon itself a Chumrah not to eat something, then even though there's another place that has a Mesoira, that the bird is kosher, they can't change their Mesoira, they can't start eating the bird based on the Mesoira of another place.